Hey, this is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. If you live in the Lone Star State, you know mosquitoes can cause more than just an itch. From yellow fever to West Nile virus, the state's endured a long history of mosquito-borne disease, some causing serious harm or death. Perhaps this concern obscures another parasite that has not proven to be a major concern in the Lone Star State until now. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports tick-borne diseases have more than doubled across the country in recent years. As their geographic reach spreads and new infectious agents they carry are identified. Time for Texans to be more concerned about tick-borne diseases. As part of our Spotlight on Health project, Margaret Nicholas takes a closer look.
These days, Chris Taylor, a wildlife biologist in North Texas, is on the lookout for ticks.
I bought something called a tick picker, which pretty much just looks like a tablespoon with a little slice cut out of it, and you can get down below their mouth parts and just pop them right off and never have to touch them. So I keep one of those on my keychain at all times, you know, to make sure I don't get anything again.
While working in the Sabine Forest in 2012, Taylor had an experience he would rather not repeat. He'd finally located a red-cockaded woodpecker, the endangered bird he was searching for. But instead of being excited, he passed out.
I leaned up against a tree and sat down, and I was watching this woodpecker, and I actually fell asleep against this tree.
Realizing he was sick, Taylor left the woods, but barely made it back to his hotel.
I kept falling asleep while I was driving, including at a four-way stop. I remember I woke up to just horns blaring at me.
After 18 hours of fevered sleep, Taylor says he felt mostly normal for the next week or two. Then other problems began cropping up, like the feeling that worms were crawling under his skin. Doctors didn't know what to make of Taylor's illness, which progressed to migraine-like headaches and more, even though Taylor had told them about a tick bite he suspected might be the cause.
I knew it had to be associated with that tick bite, or the thousands of mosquitoes I had been bitten by, just because the symptoms were just all too strange.
And he was right. Eventually, Taylor was diagnosed with both Rocky Mountain spotted fever and West Nile virus. What's more, the delay in his diagnosis could have killed him. Rocky Mountain spotted fever can be fatal and should be treated with specific antibiotics within a few days of showing symptoms. Tick-borne diseases are becoming a bigger problem across the country and in Texas, says Ben Beard, Deputy Director of the Division of Vector-Borne Diseases at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC.
Tick-borne diseases are on the increase in the United States, and we've seen a really very significant increase nationally. And I think in Texas, what we've seen has not quite been as dramatic as it's been in other parts of the United States, but we have seen a pretty steady increase in the key tick-borne diseases there.
Lyme disease represents the majority of tick-borne illness in the U.S., but that's not been true in Texas, where spotted fever disease is more prevalent. That's what officials now call Rocky Mountain spotted fever and its close relatives. The state reported 101 confirmed or probable cases in 2017, up from just 34 cases in 2010. What's more, these numbers could change quickly, says Dr. Lucas Blanton, a researcher at UTMB Galveston with the Western Gulf Center of Excellence in Vector-Borne Diseases. Blanton is trying to learn more about the threat of tick-borne illness in Texas, something that's not currently well understood. With funding from the CDC, he and others are studying ticks that live here and the diseases they carry or could acquire under the right circumstances. One prompt for the research is an alarming epidemic of Rocky Mountain spotted fever that has emerged in northern Mexico. Since 2003, the illness has caused at least 247 deaths in the Mexican state of Sonora, which borders Arizona and New Mexico. In Mexicali, across the border from California, at least 132 deaths have been reported since 2009.
This has not only been a problem in northern Mexico, but has also occurred in tribal lands of Arizona, where there's been outbreaks of Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Elsewhere in the United States, the types of ticks that carry Rocky Mountain spotted fever live in the wild and are mainly encountered by hikers, campers, or hunters, Blanton says. But in Mexico and parts of Arizona, The infection has spread to a type of tick called the brown dog tick that lives on dogs and among people, exposing whole families and communities to the serious disease. Blanton thinks this could happen here too, especially in communities where dogs roam freely or are not routinely treated with flea and tick medicine.
I believe the situation in South Texas is it's the right situation for an outbreak of Rocky Mountain spotted fever, as similar to that what is going on in northern Mexico right now.
The disease can amplify rapidly under the right conditions, Blanton says. He and his team don't want to wait for more cases to show up here.
Fortunately, in the United States, we have a lot more resources to curtail such an outbreak. But at the same time, in a disease that can be very severe, especially in the very young and in very old, it is something that we can easily prevent if we have more knowledge.
At the Mad Island Marsh Preserve along the Texas Gulf Coast, another research team has been studying migratory songbirds and the ticks they carry, also hoping to understand more about how disease vectors may spread. Sarah Hamer, an associate professor with the College of Veterinary Medicine at Texas A&M, is helping identify and analyze ticks these birds carry. Her team has found that some songbirds do carry non-native species of ticks to Texas shores, some of which are infected with new types of bacteria that could cause human disease here.
So whether or not they may pose, you know, a problem for public health or for animal health is yet to be determined. But we know that at least the early stages of an invasion, you know, these birds are bringing in these ticks that are infected with these pathogens.
Ticks and their diseases are not new. So why the need for so much study? As the CDC Spirit explains, understanding vector-borne diseases is complicated and can be a moving target.
And so as time passes, we realize that what we know in one location is not always the same in another location because the ecology is a lot different. You know, the temperature, the rainfall, the vegetation.
Human activity, like global commerce and international travel, along with land use patterns and climate change, can spread or force pathogens and vectors to new areas. So, what was true before may no longer be true.
In public health, we're dealing with all of those issues at the same time. The lack of basic knowledge, the fact that situations are changing, and that they're very unique from one location to the next.
In the meantime, here's what you can do to protect yourself. Wear repellent and check for ticks after being outdoors, especially in woods, shrubs, and tall grasses. Remove ticks completely if found. Treat pets with flea and tick medicine. And finally, if you think you might be infected, see a doctor right away. Early treatment for tick-borne disease is key. With a spotlight on your health, I'm Margaret Nicholas for the Texas Standard.